Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Coming up at 5:30, you'll hear what Dan Quinn had to say to reporters as he and his Commanders close in on Sunday Night Football with the Denver Broncos. Show's brought to you today and every day by the law firm Condori & Murad.
Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration, the list is endless. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Which Commander's player's stretch run in the final six games is most important to you? Not named Jaden Daniels. Likely a young guy, likely somebody you need to see develop, step up, break out. That's the question. I want to hit it hard here on the phones at 800-636-1067. You can hit us up on social at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny as well. Which Commander, other than Jaden Daniels, obvious answer, we're separating him from the group. Are you most needing to see play well down the stretch this season? And if you could wave a wand over one guy and all of a sudden they flourish for six games and they go into the offseason with momentum and we're feeling better about them than we are right now, who are you using that wish on? You know, some of the candidates here on the defensive side of the ball. Johnny Newton, second year, has not gone according to plan. He's getting out-snapped at times by journeymen who have retired and come out of retirement to play long in the teeth end of their career. Now you think about Mike Sanristil, who's taking a step in the wrong direction this year. Finishing strong would be a big, big deal, it feels like, for him offensively. Ben Sinnott is still not in double digits in catches as we approach the winding road of the end of year two in his career. Jalen Lane has been up and down in a rookie season from Virginia Tech. Treylon Burks has become really interesting, Danny. He had a couple of games where he showed up and won awesome performance and then broke a finger. If he comes back, what if he had a huge final few games and you go into the offseason with McLaurin and him and, you know, a different feel at receiver possibly? Bill was great early, has not been as productive of late. Maybe he's on that list. Josh Connerly, a tackle, looks like a long-term building block on the right side, but he's had some rough games at times. What's the top of your list look like?
You said his name. Eight catches for 61 yards. That's a nice week for a lot of guys. That's Ben Sinnott's whole career. That's a second-round pick, man. That was a second-round pick. That was the 53rd overall selection. That's, come on, dude. That's supposed to be Kyle Juszczyk and George Kittle combined 2.0 like Voltron. I need that guy to hopefully be something or not. And then I need to know, right? Is it time to move on and forget about it, or is it worth developing? Thank you to Zach Ertz. Really appreciate it. Thanks for all the red zone stuff. Thanks for the second half of last year. We'll take it from here. I need to know if they have a dire need there or if they have an answer in-house that's just waiting in the wings for his apprenticeship. I want that guy featured. I want to know for sure after the next handful of weeks if they have a dude or if they need a dude.
I said this yesterday. What a waste this final six games will have been if they don't call plays for him and go into games designing looks to evaluate him like you do in the preseason. Because that's what calling plays is in August. Let's face it. I got a roster decision to make. I got a bubble player here. I got to see if Rashad Ross is the guy at wide receiver or Lake Seastrunk is the dude at running back. I'm trying to see if, you know, this Trent Scott is going to make the team at tackle. So let's let him hold up in a seven-step drop at one-on-one without any help. Okay, let's call the running play. We don't know if he can catch the ball to the backfield. You know what we're doing? He's running an arrow route or we're slipping the ball out on a screen. That's what August is. Well, January is about to be August. December is about to be August. That's what this needs to be for this coaching staff. So if we get to the end of the road here, Danny, after the next month, and Ben Sinnott has had three or four more targets and one or two more catches, and they've just kind of operated where Zach Ertz is catching five, six balls, and you know you get a little Colson Yankoff there, and you know, you get some John Bates over here, what a waste that will be. That will be inexcusable. They 100% should go into a game and go, all right, Ben, today you're getting 40 snaps, you're getting eight targets, you're getting four catches, and we're going to see what you do after the catch. Because if not, what a waste of useless games. That's the whole point. The only silver lining to this crap season is what we're talking about.
100%. And it's too early because the race isn't over. But there's a lot of guys that were drafted before, middle, and after these 3 second rounders that have done a lot better, have done a lot more in the league than these three guys. Sanders still, I think, is a win, even though he struggled at times this year. Overall, that's an NFL player. Whether he's better on the inside, outside, slot, boundary, we'll figure it out, but you got something. That's worth pursuing.
He's kind of the player version, though, of the team. Last year was a massive win.
Yep.
This year is a massive disappointment. And if we're saying the truth is probably in the middle, then it might work around where he was taken. But this year, for a second-round pick, is not good enough. I mean, this has been a really disappointing season.
Especially, you know, they took Johnny Newton a couple picks later. Cooper DeJean went for Philadelphia, and he's excellent. And there's a million of those as you start to go around. Some of it is scheme and fit and team and blah, blah, blah. The other part of it, though, is guys have been more productive, and they're now being counted on for their teams, and they're playing a lot better, certainly, than Washington is. So it's one of those, like, hey, put up or shut up times, both for the player and for the team. I need to know. I get it, not starting him right away and not throwing him into the fire. It's a big adjustment a lot of times for tight ends from college to the pros. I get it. You got a veteran that you thought was going to be spotty, healthy in Zach Ertz, who had a renaissance last year. He was basically out of football. He was great for you. I get that. 12-5, NFC Championship. Now, you're not that. Neither is he. What are we doing and when are we doing it? Let's go.
My answer is another of the round two guys, and it's Johnny Newton. And by the way, when we just talk about second-round players, it's one thing to get drafted at 50 or 52 or like the Sanders still range or you know the 50 through 55 where Sinnott came off the board. Johnny Newton was the 36th pick in the draft, four picks after round one. He was also, by the way, viewed as a round one talent who fell into the second round. The value, go back, I know I said this, but a lot of people did. I was wrong so far. A lot of us were. But a lot of people felt like this was a steal because of the foot injury that was not going to linger, but had cost him a chance to have the pre-draft process that would have led to him going in the 20 to 32 range. Remember how beloved that pick is? I mean, there are times where Washington will make a pick and they'll get panned and everyone goes, what? I don't see this. This guy shouldn't have gone that high. And that's happened with this regime a few times with Sinnott was one of those players. Luke McCaffrey was one of those players. But this is not that. This is the opposite. This was, they couldn't have enough positive things said about them in the Johnny Newton like front after the draft. And guess what? We're now almost through year two.
Mm-hmm.
He has four total sacks, which, you know, you're a D-tackle, whatever. But the impact plays are few and far between. 11 quarterback hits, 8 TFLs, 27 career games. This is probably more like a rookie year because last year he was in and out with injuries and he was kind of chasing the season because he didn't get to have the preseason, the offseason. So I'll dismiss that, and I'll just say, fine, this is your rookie year. But let's just say last year didn't exist, and this was actually his rookie year at just 23 years old. It's been a pretty disappointing rookie year then. Like if this was the first year, you take the injury out of it because he's been healthy the whole time, and this is the first time we ever saw him, I'd feel the exact same way. I'd be going, this is not what I saw on tape at Illinois. This is not the guy that I thought they were getting, who lives in the backfield, who gets up the field, who pushes the pocket. It has been, he looks like a different player to me. I mean, stylistically, yep. And just, the one thing I'll give him is a lot of effort. He chased down from behind, runs every single play. He's high motor. He's going to go 110 miles an hour. And that's a character thing, and I like that about him. But I would have guessed that he would have one or two plays a week, like a Daron Payne, where you notice him and you go, I'm glad he's on my side. That happens like once a month at this point.
Well, I mean, I'll summarize it this way. If they were 10-2 and he was getting out-snapped by a veteran, you'd go, all right, you know, maybe his time will come. For a 3-8 team that can't stop anybody, for a 3-8 team that went through one of the worst defensive stretches this league has ever seen, not hyperbolic, and you're losing snaps to Sheldon Day, you've been out-snapped this year by Eddie Goldman, you've been out-snapped this year in-game by Jalen Holmes, other guys as part of rotations who were available for anybody to sign at any time for months, and you were a second-round pick, and it going great. It just not. So again, that's another one where I don't care if he's bad right now. I need him in the lineup working. I understand they went and got Javon Kinlaw and they wanted to kind of change their personalities to who they were. And maybe if Daron Payne's gone next year, he just kind of slides into the starting lineup. But to me, that's not good enough, especially with all the injuries they've had on the defensive front, most specifically at D end. Where's my creativity? Where's him on running downs, for example, kind of lining up almost as a de facto DN, maybe with a linebacker standing up over his side on the strong side or something? How is he losing snaps this badly to guys that are borderline on rosters?
But if he were to finish very strong over these final six, maybe I would feel like, all right, this was the rookie year, something clicked, he came on, and now there's something in there that we hadn't seen. Let's go to Eric in Upper Marlboro on G&D. Of the young guys on the roster, we're taking Daniels out of the equation. Who is it most important for you to see be better down the stretch?
Well, I want to see him run the ball, and I'd love to see Bill bust a couple of 30-yarders.
It's been a while. By the way, he did, start of the year, his first game against the Giants. Remember all the hype coming out, and then he didn't even start. But he ripped off that 42-yarder, I think it was, to put the game away against New York around the right edge. His long on the season was that 42-yard run. He had a 27-yarder against the Chargers. He had a 16-yarder against the Falcons. But over, listen to this, over the last five games for Bill. Long, not, you know, like the average, but the long of 9, 5, 6, 6, and 10. He hasn't had a run longer than 10 yards.
Mm.
He had the highest percentage of carries 10 or more in the NFL through a few weeks. He's had one 10-yard carry since they played the Bears on Monday Night Football. That's crazy.
That's nuts. I mean, I don't know how much is him. I personally don't blame him a ton. I don't think he got dramatically worse since then. I don't think he's all of a sudden forgotten how to run or has lost cutting ability and burst. I think it's defenses are not afraid of anything over the top and are pressing and coming downhill in boxes and making it challenging for them. I don't think the blocking is there. And I don't think anyone's afraid of their passing game, which is the entire point of this to me. But I would like to see him get going.
I agree with that. I don't think Bill has been bad, but I will say in the same games against the same defenses, Chris Rodriguez has been more successful the last few weeks. So why is that? Chris is in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris? How are you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Grant, I have to agree with you. It's Ben Sennett for me as number one. Also, I think Jalen Lane. I wish NFL general managers were more Billy Bean-like and just took options away from flailing teams and from coaches. Like, to me, Zach Ertz is Cliff Kingsbury's security blanket, and we need to take his willy away from him and get Ben Sennett at some opportunities because he's not going to be part of the equation going forward. I mean, I'm not sure that's a thing in the NFL. Grant, you've been in NFL locker rooms. You know how they work. I just wish they would kind of operate more like Bill Clinton A's and saying, we're going to see what players we've got a baseball franchise instead of go get them every man, put the best player on the field, we play to win the game kind of mantra. You need to see how your young players are going to perform and forecast for next year.
Totally agree with that. And that's kind of the cousin or the, I don't know, kind of the brother-in-law or the adjacent to the, how could you ever sit a guy, et cetera. And again, I think they're different conversations, but that mentality doesn't creep into the week-to-week league where there's only 17 games that is the NFL. And I've always lamented that, to Chris's point. I think it's a mistake. When you're out of it, this is not veteran time, but that's not how locker rooms work. And I would like to be able to make it more forward thinking to make them work that way. So I love the way he phrased that of take away the coach's whoopee, because all these coaches need to be told in a secure fashion, we're not going to judge you if your rookie players like Jalen Lane get 8 targets and the offense isn't very good, right? We need to know if this guy can be counted on or if we have to go shopping in that regard. I need to know if Ben Sinnott's the dude or if I need to go shopping in that regard. I need to know those sorts of things. Play them and scheme them up for them, even if it makes you worse in the short term.
But a guy like Dan Quinn is not worried about, you know, Adam Peters getting upset at him if the offense isn't good or they don't win while he's doing that. Like, they have such a good relationship. They talk every hour of every day, pretty much. He's got the ability to. His brain's just not wired to do that.
Yeah, I'm saying let's sit him down
right
with some electromagnets tied to him or something.
So this is where I think actually Chris is more onto something, which is to say Peters should just say, hey, man, here is what we're doing. Like, he runs the show anyway. It's his operation. Just go to Dan Quinn and say, hey, man. And it doesn't have to be this week against the Broncos. Again, you and I kind of disagreed on this, but it's not January 1st right now. Like, there's 6 games left. It's basically a third of a season. You don't need to shut it down this week. But in 2 weeks, let's say, for the stretch run of the 3 or 4 game sample, certainly for the final 2 or 3 games of this season, yeah, it's Ben Sinnott time. This is now Johnny Newton 55 snaps time. Yep. This is 92% of reps for, you know, Colson Yankoff and Ben Sinnott at tight end over the guys that we know are going to be here in Ertz and Bates.
And when I don't get it, I'm just telling everybody in advance I'm going to be insufferable. Because I think that's coming. I think they're going to keep running out the old guys for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Let's go to Vic and Akakeek on Grant and Danny. Vic, take Jaden Daniels out of the equation. Who do you want to see shine down the stretch of the youth?
Grant, I want to first say that over the years I respect your football acumen. And what I respect about it is that you admire good football teams and football teams that do things the right way and with based on analytics and based on culture. And you hear about it all the time when you highlight things that are relevant to what we're discussing about.
Oh, I appreciate you, man. That means a lot. Thank you.
Yes, sir. With that being said, the most important commander to me right now, considering all the people that just were named, Johnny Newton, Ben Sinnott, Jalen Lane, is Dan Quinn. And it's important to me what Dan Quinn has been doing up to this point or is prepared to do because it's not based on something else you just said. Because Adam Peters is the boss. And what Adam Peters just has to do is say, hey, for the trajectory and the progression of the organization where we want it to go, whether what we did last year and what's happening this year, we need to see our young guys. We need to see what we invested in and if they have the talent to carry this team for the next 5 years. And what I need to make sure, here's the evaluation and the progress monitoring, using an educated term, I'm an educator. Have you been doing the progress monitoring in practice? Have you been doing the progress monitoring in games? Have you been doing the progress monitoring in the film room, doing the X's and O's and preparing game plans for our young talent so we can know if they are or they aren't? And that's coaching. And that's why I feel this is Dan Quinn is the most important right now because if we go 9-8-9 or 9-8 or we get somewhere near to that, that would be respectable for us considering injuries, you know, football being football and all the things we dealt with this year. We'll consider it. We'll be okay moving to the next level as fans in general. But if we're not and we're well under 500 and even our young guys don't get time and even our young guys, our older guys still don't produce, that's going to be a problem. And it's going to point back to Dan and then Adam is going to start having conversations with Dan.
Vic, it's a great point, man. Happy holidays to you, buddy. I didn't mean to cut you off there. We're jumping up against it. That's a really good point. I mean, honestly, this is a different set of criteria that we're normally judging on. When you come off a 12-5 NFC title game appearance, we're basically judging you on that. Okay, that court case is now settled and resolved. Here's the next thing we're trying to judge you on, right? Where's the development of my young pieces? I need the guys that were here last year that were promising to be promising again. That's the guys that you mentioned. We've talking about them. It's Sandra Still. It's Newton. It's Sinnott. It's Jalen Lane this year. It's the young pieces. There aren't a ton of them because they haven't had many picks. But the guys that are here, I need them to grow down the stretch. I think that's a very fair standard.
You're going to hear from Dan Quinn. He was asked about playing the kids a little more in today's press conference. What did he say? That's next on The Fan.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. so unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool Top Load Washer or Midea Top Freezer Refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on The Fan. Dan Quinn met with reporters today for his daily press conference. You knew Jaden Daniels was going to come up playing the youth as the stretch run continues with 6 to go out of the bye. Conversation began with him talking about the wide receiver position. Updates on Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown.
Terry, Noah, are they full go this week?
Yep.
Okay.
I don't know about they're practicing.
Okay. All right. For you, with all these guys back and all that, obviously 6 games left, a lot of things that maybe you want to play for, a little bit harder to attain now, but what is the value for you guys in just having a really strong finish to build off of?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I told the team, you know, for a year and a half, we're building something good. The only way it's going to be great is if you find these standards and find the details, John, to take it to the next space and take it to the next space. It's not something that you just turn on and off like a faucet. And so missing the mark on some, you know, that bothers you, that pisses you off, and you want to fix it, you want to correct it. And so that's what it looks like to me, to throw excellent weeks and having a day like today to start it. You throw a good Wednesday, you throw a good Thursday and Friday, and like, of course that carries over into the game. Then you can lean back and say, okay, yeah, I can do just what we did in practice. So that's why I'm so excited to get the reps and the full speed work with everybody and build that continuity, because that, it makes a difference and it helps, and I'm looking forward to doing that.
Bear with me on this one. With the defense building off of the Miami game, what can you take from that game to build off of? And then, I guess, along with that, with Frankie Louvu, the pass rush numbers, we can look at the numbers and say they're not the same as last year, but what are you seeing from him, and what do you want to see from him going forward?
Well, I think first at linebacker, like, you want to see guys that can tackle, play square or tough, can impact the game. So that part, that's what I'm looking for first, you know, at that spot. The added value is the rushing, the blitzing. We've rushed him more as a DN as opposed to blitzing. And sometimes that's just by necessity, John. And so, you've had it all the way you want, you bring him from off the ball and do that more often. But that's where we are. And I'm very pleased with him. He's absolutely established himself as one of the leaders here. High standards of things we want to get done. I do love his versatility, and having all the extra work on the edge will pay dividends. But the guy's got real natural instincts, and I can't say that, you know, in years to come we'll be more off and blitzing, possibly. But until then, like, this is how we get down.
And then building off the defense, what can you take from that game to go
forward? I liked the intensity that I saw, especially down in some of the red zone stuff. I liked the communication, you know, to limit the explosive plays. That's a big deal, John. So that's, you know, a few of the things I want to see. And heading into this game, that's going to be an important piece for us to make sure, man, right spot, right location, and, like, really nailing your job, not – most of the time, like every time, you know, like that's to me the over and over and over, and that's why I'm excited about the continuity and the reps together.
And what's the ramp up for Jaden this week in terms of getting him closer to playing?
Yeah, and some of that is nice, David, because of the continuity. It's Noah, it's Terry, it's Debo, it's Trayvon, and getting extra turns with some of those guys. We kind of scripted even some for specific routes for specific players so we can dig in hard on that. And so it'll be a challenging good week to push, but it's more about the timing, the execution in the passing game from the, you know, specific side for him and game plan. There's some specific things we want to work on, but today's goal, man, let's get throwing with those guys and find that timing and that edge.
With the receiver room, you know, obviously Terry can take the top off, and Noah's a great possession receiver, but how do their presence also help you on the tunnel screens and some of the other stuff that you do with the receivers?
Yeah, it's one of the areas that we want to do, because when you, you know, obviously Debo's another factor in that, and so when you have three in connection doing it all, that's a difference as opposed to watch for this one player doing this one thing. And that's what I look to see, you know, where Terry has a factor in that. Debo has a factor in that. Who's got vertical shots? All three of them can now. So having the ability for Debo now to play all the multiple spots, that's going to be an advantage as well. And so Terry will be able to play both right and left as well. So that's what we intend to do. And then be part of the whole thing. I, you know, want to make sure hitting the right marks, throwing the right practices. So it's not like a wide open, you know, throw to him. But, you know, integrate everybody together.
Hi, Coach. You mentioned that it's exciting for you as a coach to have that continuity back with more players on the field. I'm curious what the energy has been like from the players in the locker room and in the meetings this week as they start to get back out there together.
Yeah. Players-wise, you can feel that energy, too, seeing some of their teammates coming back. That's a big deal. It started on Monday, I felt, coming back. That was probably the first time we had, you know, a bigger group together for a practice for the entire season. So that was a big step forward. And then let's carry it into the week. We like the competitions. We like what that means. And so we just wanted to, like, man, just focus in on this time, this moment. If you're really going to have a standard, it's day by day, but it's really even like moment by moment. It's the next play. It's the next series. It's that practice. And so that's what we're going to chase hard. I want these guys to find the details together. And if we do that again and again, that's when, like, kind of the fun stuff begins. But we've got to put that work in to do that. It's very important for us to find that.
And you've described Jaden as this really high-energy competitor. What have your conversations been like with him over the past few weeks as you balance getting him back on the field while also not trying to rush that process?
Yeah, the part of him, like the rehab part first, that's where you start. And so it's not going to be this way forever when you're, you know, in a sling and not doing well. And so then here's the next step. What's the next marker? And practice is the next one. And so when you hit the next steps, okay, a little more enthusiasm, a little more momentum, you're knowing where the next thing can come. And so that's an important piece. And so all of us in life, sometimes we're looking all the way down the road and let's get to the next step and to the next step. And we're not going to miss any with him. He knows, we all know the importance of him and the franchise, so we're not going to miss any steps. But this is also a developing football player that is hungry to get back, and we're hungry to help him become the player that he's going to become. And, like, that's a really cool thing.
Dan, it seemed like against the Dolphins, the rushing attack got going for you guys a little bit more than in weeks past. What's kind of the key to continuing that against a pretty tough run defense this week in the Broncos?
Yeah, it's going to be important. You heard me say the run actions, the screens, those are the things that can set you forward. And it takes work to do that. I've been pleased by some of the progress that I saw in that. And going into it, that'll be, like, you know, high value, not just this week, but moving forward. If you want to have a good balanced attack, all right, run the ball well. because now you're able to have more balance because of play actions and other things that can go with it. So it's an important part of what we do, not for this week or last week, but just it's really important that this is how we want to get down, and knowing that we need the work, we need the, you know, the timing, all of it. So yeah, we're excited to do that.
What has his absence kind of meant for this defense, and kind of the flip side is what will his return bring to the defense?
I'll start on the return side. For him, Will is a really good communicator. He's like a hungry competitor. So I've liked that part about him. He's got good football awareness, Tom, because his background, he played corner, he's played nickel, he played safety. So some guys can, you know, see this way, and Will can expand the vision to see other things, to give the alerts to other players. So he did a good job even during the rehab process. He was involved. He was in meetings. And so after his surgery, he was a couple weeks out in L.A., and then he came right back, I think, after our trip from L.A., and that's when we began the process, him being in the meetings together. So we like what he communicates like. We like the hitting that he brings and the competitive style that he has.
Dan, last year this team was so good playing at home. This year, you've lost three in a row at home. How important is it to kind of reestablish that identity of, you know, playing at home and having that home field advantage?
Yeah, it's super important. And we love the energy that our fans have created at home. And so as a team, we need to repay that. We need to get that part back. And we had been good at home over, you know, previously, and so started the season that way. And so we've got to get that done. That's very important for us as a team. To show that gratitude for the fan base and the energy that they poured into the team. Like, we are desperate to pay that back to them.
Another player getting back, Daron Payne. Obviously, he did not make the trip to Madrid. Teachable moment, learning moment, curious kind of the conversations you've had with Daron and his kind of his mindset, you know, getting back on the field now.
It was difficult. From the time we knew this suspension could take place all the way up till, you know, the appeal that was, you know, X minutes before takeoff. And so it went all the way to the wire. So you discuss, you learn, you want to make sure the lessons, you know, what can you take from these moments? So not only for him, but for him to be able to pass that along, you know, to someone else in that same space. But we are pumped to have him back, man. That's a big deal for us.
We've talked a lot about some of the established players getting more time on task now. But as some of the larger team goals, you know, kind of slip away a little bit, how do you balance getting, you know, kind of some younger players' practical experience and development with time on field versus, you know, like bringing back these established guys who have been there and done that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And you're trying to find the balance between both, you know, winning now and developing, you know, for tomorrow as well. There's some people that I think are making those steps, like Jordan McGee is one that I'm feeling that type of step going to the next spot. But you have to be able to try to do both. I was pleased to see Jones make a big play in the game last week at receiver. And so when those moments come and you're helping the guys develop, that's a big deal. What we also do here is, like you guys know, NFL practices, there's carded looks that you get to it. And we do quite a few where we don't do that. We want to see where's their knowledge, where's their development coming along. So we spend extra time with the players who are don't have as much experience to get them into practices, get the meaningful reps, see them compete. And that's why I like having a full crew to be able to practice and do that. That's a big deal. We've expanded our competitions at practice today because we have more people that can do it. So the trickle-down effect of that is, okay, more people get those third-down competition reps today, like a guy like Biggers and McDaniel, like those who are literally, you know, waiting for their chance to get some more chances. It's a big deal.
Dan Quinn today with the media. He does seem more earnest than other coaches in, like, the coach speak part of it. And I don't mean that as a slight, but when he's talking about the importance of even a lost season game at the end of this year, we got to do it right because this is how we get down and this is the message we want to send. I really don't think he's just saying words. I think that's really, like, how he lives. He means it.
I think that's a good point because I just sort of, I hear the same things that I've always heard and I'm kind of going, my God, is this the Dan Quinn Tron 3000 spewing out like the AI regurgitated stuff, which is in these situations. But there may be that other side to it, to your point, that this is how he lives, man. This is who he is at all times, 24/7.
Some burning NFL questions from Dad coming up in a few. It's Grant and Danny taking you up to 6:30. Remember, at the top of the hour in 20 minutes, we are scouting the Broncos ahead of Sunday Night Football. It's the Fan.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
If you missed any part of today's Thanksgiving food draft, an all-timer, one that will be remembered. I'm still full, basically, because the good folks at Stupid Good Barbecue brought in quite literally the most ridiculous food spread we've ever had in show history. They got a lot of cool offers going on around Thanksgiving. They're doing a smoked turkey feast, party packs that can be pre-ordered online and picked up anytime today through close into tomorrow. They're there until 4 o'clock. Stupid Good Barbecue. Until 4 p.m. for your last-minute needs, so go check out their site. They're open on Thanksgiving Day for walk-ins. Barbecue party packs are year-round, though. So I've done this before with friends coming over for football. They do it on Saturdays and Sundays, Super Bowl party, all kinds of stuff. They can even deliver and set everything up for you when they do that. Absolutely love me some Stupid Good Barbecue. So pre-order for Christmas starting now. They just opened those. So if you're thinking about having people over, you want to do the Thanksgiving-like spread with the rolls from Best Buns and the pies and all that stuff. They got it all for you. But man, oh man, Danny, we're going to have to be rolled out of here when the day is done. You looked up at us like an hour and a half ago and said you were uncomfortably full and like you needed to stop eating.
And then I ate more after
trying
that
to throw you under the bus. You have not stopped eating yet.
Good God almighty.
CK even came up to me like during a commercial break and he's like, what do you think is the chance that Danny gets sick tonight? And I said, well, his wife's not here to stop him. And I'm pretty sure his wife's already left town. Yep. So really, really high, actually.
It's a great chance. I mean, to the point that I'm uncomfortably full, but food is too good. I'm a sheep. Like, if there is food in front of me that's delicious, all willpower and all common sense goes out the window. And common sense left about an hour ago on a pony.
Amazing that they hooked us up and just made the day better. It's thankful for that on this Thanksgiving holiday season. But go listen to the pod wherever you get your audio to hear how Ryan Clary, inexplicably the early leader in polling, maybe had as good a draft as he's ever had before.
Certainly his best draft.
It took him trying to make a bad trade that he then walked himself back on, and all of a sudden, after offering a trade, pulled it back. Also, Darris made the worst trade in the history of the Grant and Danny Thanksgiving food draft. He's been taking a lot of heat for it. But you did something that for many, many years you haven't done, Darris, and you got collard greens, which I know people are very excited about.
Yes, yes. I hope I satisfied many people across the nation that listen to the Grant and Danny program.
Many, many people listening on the Odyssey app. Hmm. All right, let's get into the National Football League and the Pigskin starting to get played tomorrow. Some burning questions. Speaking of Dad, he's got some for us.
With 6 weeks to go, give me some of your favorite award, or give me some of your award choices. Give me your MVP, your Offensive Player of the Year, and your Defensive Player of the Year with 6 weeks to go.
I think these are easy right now. MVP is Stafford over Drake May narrowly. I still think Drake May could win this thing if Stafford relents, but 30 touchdowns, two picks. NFL record, 27 touchdowns in a row in season here without an interception. He is balling at age 37. He's just been on another level, so he's my MVP. OPOY, I think you can kind of put a bow on this one. It's Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's on his way to breaking records at the wide receiver position for catches and yards. He's got 80 grabs for 1,313 yards. That's a hell of a season through 11 games, six to go. So he's going to be your OPOY. And Myles Garrett, who's going to shatter the sacks record, is going to win the Defensive Player of the Year award. He's already got 18. He needs five more to break the record. He's got 13 in his last four games. This is his games log in sacks over the last month. 3-4-1-5-1. You realize he had, I mean, it's not like it's nothing, but he had four sacks through the first seven games, and he's got 18 right now with six to go.
Just patently insane. If he doesn't have another snap this year, he's the DPOY. Let me throw another nominee for Offensive Player of the Year at you. If you don't like it, throw it right back. Let's not discount Jonathan Taylor, who's got an outside shot at rushing for maybe 1,800, 1,900 yards. He's got 17 touchdowns, leads the NFL. Second in the NFL in scrimmage yards, and he's only a handful of yards behind Christian McCaffrey, who has an extra game and a billion more touches, numbers approximate to his credit. Averaging well over 108 yards a game on the ground, has just under 1,200 with 15 touchdowns. In that regard, has, I think, close to a couple hundred, maybe almost 300, rather, receiving yards as well for a team that's out in first place. I'm giving it to JSN, but I think with a strong close and maybe a slip-up or two from JSN, it could be Jonathan Taylor's award.
With the NFC playoff picture currently, with the Rams at the top, the Eagles with the number two seed, Bears at three, Tampa Bay at four, Seattle at five, Green Bay at six, San Francisco at seven, which of those seven teams do you see possibly falling out with 6 weeks to go?
Okay, so doing the math, it would have to – I think the Niners are in simply because their schedule is too easy. Even if they're not good, they're going to get their 10-11 wins. I think it'd be the Packers is the most likely to fall out, right? I don't think anybody is going to catch Tampa in that dumb division, even though Carolina's only, whatever, like a half game behind them. Nobody's any good in that division. So Green Bay is the most vulnerable because they play Detroit this week. Difficult schedule. Even though they're not one of the worst teams, they, to me, would be the most likely to fall out of that group.
Chicago's the easy answer. I mean, just look at the odds. They're currently, I don't think, by way of the odds, expected to make the playoffs. Like, you're still able to get close to plus money on them getting in to the playoffs. I know they're the three seed, but that's because they're a half game,
up on Green Bay,
better than Green Bay, and Green Bay controls their own destiny. They still play again. Again, we talked about this earlier. A lot of people think the Bears don't make the playoffs. They have Philly this week on Friday, then Green Bay. If they lose both of those games, they're 8-5. They'd already be on the outside looking in. You get Cleveland, get to 9-5, but then you finish with playoff team Green Bay, playoff team San Francisco, playoff team likely Detroit. So they've got the hardest remaining schedule. I'll go with the Bears.
The Steelers spent most of the season at the top of the AFC North, but they got hawked down by the Ravens. Are the Steelers officially cooked, or do they still have a chance with two games to go to play against the Ravens?
They have a chance because the Ravens have been unimpressive, but they're not going to make the playoffs. Much of this year, they've been outgained and outscored. They're just not that good. Also, sneaky Aaron Rodgers is doing kind of what he did last year with the Jets, which is playing at like a bottom 10 efficiency level among regular starting quarterbacks in the league. But you saw them this past week squander a golden opportunity against the Bears. Had they won that game, it might have been different. I think that was a killer for them. The reason I'm not burying them and putting it in Sharpie yet is that the Ravens their wins over the Jets and the Browns have been completely unimpressive. Their last really good signature, wow, you're a good football team win, was 4 games ago when they throttled the Dolphins. They've had 3 meh wins since in this winning streak. Yes, they play the Bengals twice, but the Steelers is always a tough one. I think the Patriots will be a tough game. They play the Packers and Pittsburgh again. So 2 more games for Pittsburgh, too, against Baltimore straight up. They're in control of their destiny. They're definitely not cooked.
So the Steelers are not cooked. They're doing Steelers things. This is what they do. They always do it. 2 games on their schedule, looking ahead, Miami and Cleveland, that you'd both say they probably win those games, right? There's your 8th win. Among their other games, Buffalo, 2 against Baltimore, 1 at Detroit, all tough, but they're going to Steeler. They do this. They win games that you don't think they're going to. See the Colts win this year. See the win at New England, which now looks a little bit better in retrospect early on this season. They always do this. They're going to finish 9-8 because that's what Mike Tomlin does.
It's what his teams were built to do.
They were made to do it.
That's the problem. They build their teams with these high floors and low ceilings. It's almost like they need to shake things up a little bit from the front office on down at the end of this season. All right, next, let's scout the Broncos. Sunday Night Football, best defense in the National Football League is going to be at Northwest Stadium. How does Washington get to the Broncos quarterback, Bo Nix, in this game? How do they move the football on offense? We're going to ask one of the reporters who covers Denver next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.